Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, let's get cracking. Seems like you're moving and I can see you, which is great.
Go.
Lionel, how do you work that one out? You know, my missus could have played against him.
I've got to be careful,
haven't I? I'm sorry and all this. That's a lot of. You've got to die to get 3 points.
Hello everybody, welcome along to the latest episode of the Die for 3 Points podcast. My name is David Prutton, alongside the esteemed Neil Warnock. Neil, it's nearly Christmas, how are we feeling?
Very good, yeah. To be fair, I'm looking forward to it. We've had some horrific weather, haven't we, with the freezing, minus 10 down here at some stage. But it's nice and at the moment it's lovely. And we're having a quiet family one, which is unusual for, you know what it's like at football. In fact, absolutely. My missus used to be so pleased because if we were away from home, because she knew that at Christmas Day afternoon I'd be off and she could have a nice quiet time, no messing about. So, but not now. I'm afraid I'm here to bugger all day this time.
But that's the big thing, isn't it? As I use this in inverted commas, retired manager, because as we always say, you never know what's around the corner. It's your first one as a retired manager. I mean, any special plans? Do you enter it with any form of expectation or trepidation?
Not really, no. I think I really enjoyed being with the kids a bit more. I think that's probably what you miss. Amy and William, don't live too far away, and it's been brilliant to catch up with them, really. And we've had days out going shopping for Christmas and things like that, which you just don't get that when you're in football. It consumes your day, doesn't it? 24 hours a day, so. Just normal little silly things, really. I suppose I'm like a little kid again now.
Given that your time isn't all consumed now by picking teams, looking after players, wondering what the next game's going to throw up, what any routines, any kind of special rituals that go on in your particular house? What gets the Warnocks into the Christmas spirit?
Not really. We probably have a sing-song. Sharon plays the piano and Amy joins in.
Does she?
I have a triangle. I will probably get a triangle. The kids, they realise how good a musician I am. So,
it's all about timing, just, isn't it?
We'll probably have a laugh around Christmas Day on that. But it's, no, not really. We like to get up and out with the dogs and have a walk if it's nice and crispy. But the forecast is quite wet. So, I'm not sure what that's going to be like. But as everybody around the country, we'll all be up and about and hopefully get some nice fresh air and, have a good one.
Given where you've managed across the country, of course, does that mean, have you got memories of Christmas in several different places over the course of your career?
Well, I don't know about a lot of managers. I've always, as a manager, Dave, I've always given them Christmas Day off, the lads. Always.
Yeah.
My belief is that if I trust them, and I tell them, and we've obviously got a game Boxing Day, and I always tell them, look, I'm going to trust you. Rather than driving in an hour and then training and showering, driving out, or sometimes longer than that, I think it's better if they're relaxed with the family on Christmas Day morning, and they be careful of what they eat throughout the day. I just think, as long, I always said to them, as long as you go for a walk, just have a little walk away, then I'll see you on Boxing Day. And I can't remember losing on Boxing Day, Dave. I just cannot. It's always a good day for me, Boxing Day. So now everybody's in it. You know, you've got to be in training. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. And all the stats and everything. I'm not 100% sure about that at times like this. I think that that knowledge that you're at home and you can relax, I think that gets you more ready for the game than actually the travelling in, and you might get a knock in the training, or you might do some hotels. I've never been one for Christmas Day training, which is unusual, because I would imagine 95% of the club's managers now will have them in on Christmas Day.
And that, you mentioned actually training on Christmas Day, but and you'd have experienced this as well with regards, if you've got a long journey for Boxing Day, more often than not you are in a hotel on Christmas Day night, which I think when you're a younger player you kind of, it's a strange thing to get used to, but by, I don't know, 2-3 years into it, it's just par for the course, isn't it? Which I know people that are around family over the course of Christmas just can't seem to get their head around, but it's the very nature of the beast, isn't it?
It is. I just, once again, if we're away from home, I don't have them in on Christmas Day until say 4 o'clock or something like that in the afternoon. We get to the hotel and we only have sandwiches and the snacks. I don't really want to get to the hotel till 8 o'clock, something like that. So we very rarely, you know, I sort of stable it so that they're not, whereas normally you go to a hotel and you have a big meal and all that. I want them to have the meal at home, and then I'll let them travel up. We always travel late, and the hotel, wherever we're staying, just put us little snacks on.
The real essence of what football is in this country is it really feels kind of enhanced by the festive period. We've heard other managers come in and kind of point the finger at how busy it is, but it's just what we've always known in this country, what we've always appreciated in this country. And almost felt as you went into the Christmas period, and I'm keen to know what it was from a manager's point of view, is almost that bunker mentality of, we've got a lot of games in a very short period of time, people are on holiday, they want to come to be entertained, they want to come and enjoy themselves. Did you feel that sense of responsibility to make sure that you did your part to make people's Christmas as great as possible?
Yeah, I think it's important. The football club is the vocal point of the whole society, and I always tried. We always had whether you had a junior supporters club or something like that. We always used to go out and you know, have a Santa Claus, etc., and do things like that. Have a get together before the game, before Christmas, because and the lads always we had fine money and etc. throughout the year, and we always used to try and spend the fine money on buying, you know, Christmas presents for children that were having to stay in hospital for over Christmas. Yeah. And then you'd get letters from supporters whose relatives were in hospital. So you'd try and do something for them. There's so many things going off around Christmas, and I think the football club is so important regarding that, because it is, like I say, it's the focal point, and everybody gets together in that area. And I think we have a responsibility to do that. And we've always done that, really. You know, as a player, we always went round the children's ward at the local hospital at Christmas. Always.
So important.
Always took boxes of presents from the club, whether it was souvenir from their souvenir shops, whether there were scarves or mugs and things like that, and have your picture taken. I think it plays a big part in keeping spirits up. And I think at Christmas, keeping your spirits up is so important, especially people that aren't as well, you know, or have had a bad time.
I thought that led into what I was going to ask you next, because I thought that was such an important part of what we did as footballers in the community, and that privilege of being able to go into to see young kids and young adults and people that were, as you say, in alien places over the course of the Christmas period in hospital. They'd been in there for a long time, they might have been in there for a short time, but regardless of what team I was at, what level we were playing at, it was just the fact if you walked in that club tracksuit, that the, you know what I mean, like you say,
the place lifted, didn't it,
their eyes beamed, and they might not have no idea who you are, but because you are from the football club, it's like, oh, fantastic. And it was always a lovely thing to do, I thought.
It was, and when we used to go to some of the children's wards, especially when I was in Sheffield, the children's hospital was close by. When we used to go in there, like you say, with the tracksuits and what have you, you know, you'd have children in bed, you know, and the parents had been with them for days, weeks, some of them. And you could tell the happiness that we brought to the ward. You know, these children had tubes everywhere and they couldn't move out of bed. And just to see them smile, I mean, to see a big smile on the faces, and you know what I'm like, I used to have a laugh with them, etc. And I think you come out of that feeling so much better, and you realise how important being a footballer in your local community is, and what you can do, and the part you can play to bring happiness and a bit of cheer. That's why even in the pandemic, David, it was the same thing. I felt the same responsibility at Middlesbrough, when I was at Middlesbrough, in the pandemic. I wanted to put smiles on faces, make them happy, and because there's not a lot else going on at that time. So, you know, I hope that, I think football clubs and footballers still do that around the country. And I think it's an important thing to actually to do at this time of year.
It's huge, isn't it? And as you say, it's that privilege of being invited and of being able to go in and help and do a little bit, exactly as you're saying. And the good thing is as well, providing that much needed perspective of what goes on in people's lives with regards to what football is, which then meant possibly that there was a freedom going into the next football match, knowing that in the grand scheme of things, going into the next game was kind of paling into insignificance, given what we'd seen with these young kids in the hospitals.
I think you used to go home after going to the hospitals.
Yeah,
and these days you used to go home, and I think everybody, you value your own family so much more when you see them, and you see them healthy and fit and enjoying Christmas, and you think back to where you've just been, and I think it just gives you more. You realise more about how important a part you have to play, and you realise how a lot of people suffer at this time of year, and if we can just make them smile or make them happy for a few minutes, it's worth more than any money can, you know, you can't buy anything like that.
You're absolutely right. It goes back to the adage, doesn't it? The most important of the unimportant things. That's exactly what football is. Okay, we're going to take a very quick break and we'll be back in just a second.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Okay, welcome back to the Die for 3 Points podcast. And the great thing is with this podcast and our little breaks in between means that myself and Neil can really get stuck into the settings on our computers to make sure that we can actually A, hear each other, and B, see each other. Neil, can you see me and hear me? Are we back up and running?
Yes, I can see you, Dave. Not a pretty sight, son, but I can see you. Yeah.
Always keeps me on my toes.
I did have a jumper like yours. At QPR, they gave me a Christmas jumper.
This and looks I like wore QPR colours.
It was just so tight. And I wore it for about a year, but I couldn't get away with it when I put a bit of weight on, I'm afraid. So
I've been in that position since retiring. The amount of clothes that have been slung or gone to the charity shop is frightening, really. Right, we're talking about the Christmas period in football. Now, the great thing is, looking at that last round of games in the Championship, you are looking out for that one player that maybe is a booking away from not doing anything on Boxing Day, maybe is a red card away from not doing anything on Boxing Day. Now, I'm trying to think in my career whether there was a serial Christmas misser
with regards to what Boxing Day was. Anybody spring in your mind that might have timed it to perfection?
I can't remember. I can't remember who it was, Dave. We definitely had one at Sheffield. I know we lost a player, and it was, and I didn't realise at the time, but we lost 2 years on the trot. He wasn't available for Boxing Day and the 28th. They had two games missing. So it was a, or they'd get sent off and have three games. Something was going off. You knew that, but you couldn't say anything. So I'm sure it happens. I mean, I had one throw the ball down in disgust, didn't get booked, kicked it away, didn't get booked. And then he ended up, I don't know what else he just threw some, and then he got booked and he missed the game. Everybody does that. You can't tell me managers don't do it now. That
I'm sure there's a strategic one here and there. And the thing is now, and with regards to how it's done nowadays, you can get booked for the most innocuous things. So you can't really tell what's kind of premeditated and what's just unfortunate, can you? I mean, from the player's point of view, I always really enjoyed this period of time because it was, I mean, it changes obviously, and you've alluded to it, Neil, as you get older and you have a family and there's older relatives and you want to make sure that you see everyone at such a very, very special time. But did you, you know, when you got the lads in either on Christmas Eve or later on Christmas Day or going into Boxing Day, did you get a sense of giddiness with regards to what these players were like at Christmas? Was that a part of it?
Yeah, I think I will like you, really. I think it's such a great part. We've got the best league. I think our Premier League and our Championship, when you look at the crowd, Division One, you look at the crowds that we're getting at the moment. And I think Christmas is really important. We always used to want to be, if you're top of the league at Christmas, you're not far away. Yeah. And I think then if you're chasing in the pack, you want to try and get near to the playoffs so that you know you've got a chance of getting in the playoffs. Likewise, at the bottom, you don't really want to be in the bottom three. But you know there's a lot of games to come. So I think the dressing room spirit is vital. And when that's what I miss, really. That I miss going in the dressing room, having a, you know, especially like when you said Christmas, you know, when you're going, you know what it's like. You're going training after Christmas. Some of the gear that the lads have got on, I mean, it's ideal for me. For my comedy platform. And, you know, I always picked on somebody about what's your grandma wearing, you know, and did she give you that? Did she pass you that down, you know, as a Christmas present? So, some of the gear. But the lads take it, it's really good fun, isn't it, that? And I'm sure behind me back, the lads took the mickey out of me, something cruel. So, I think it's part and parcel.
You've spoken about it on the podcast before. Away from Christmas, the importance of a player and his family and how you interact with that player, and some might need different ways of being loved or motivated or pushed on. And it seems, did Christmas bring that into sharper focus, or was that just Neil Warnock's approach over the course of a season, day in, day out, make the players feel as happy as possible?
I just think that was my approach day in, day out. But I think Christmas time, you just don't know. Your physios are important. Your masseurs are important, not just for what they do with the players, but also for listening at what problems the players have got. At what about the family? Any of the family not very good? Any of the children not very good? A single lad might be there. You know, the lads who are in digs.
Lads from other countries as well.
Yeah. So there were so many little things, and that's why your staff play such an important part. And at this time of the year as well, you know, you've got to have humour. I always said to the players all through the year, not just at Christmas, your family comes first. Any problems, off you go. I'm not bothered whether it's my best player and I'm gutted that they're not playing. But off you go, look after your family. And I think they give you that. I think they respect you more for being like that. Than being in, you know, you've got to be in there 6, 7, 8 hours. You don't have to be in there 7 or 8 hours. A lot of, you know, when you get to Christmas, Dave, you're not going to get any fitter. Yeah. You're not going to get any fitter. I always thought, if my lads have a good pre-season and they get to Christmas, training after Christmas, they're not going to get any fitter then. So now it's all, I think it's, between now and the end of the season, I think it's psychological now. A lot of the game now. These players that have probably never been at the top of the league or not expected to be at top of the league. So, you know, how do we, you know, how do we take the pressure off them now?
Yeah.
How do we, you know, try and get a little bit more out of one or two lads that, and I spent more time, Dave, with me lads who weren't in my team. The lads who were on the bench, who had left out, because I knew if I were going to be successful, them lads were going to be in my team before long. So I always worked harder, even on the training ground. I'd have more of a chat with players who weren't in the team, because I knew that when they spoke to the manager and he give us a lift, I knew they knew that I'm waiting for them. They want their opportunity. They can't wait. And so it was it's one of them things. I made an effort to speak to them players that weren't in the team. Can I just apologise, Dave, for my shiny face and ready? I've never seen the sunshine come out as much when I'm doing a podcast.
Before. What's the saying? The sun shines on the righteous. Is that what we're saying?
You're right. I always bring a little bit of sunshine to people's lives.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
I'm surprised you even remember that. Before your time, I used to watch the programme.
Well, that was a Christmas staple, wasn't it? Year on year. I'm sure that was the Morecambe and Wise show. It was the most watched traditional show at Christmas, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was simple. Simple humour, really.
So let's just knit this together. So Lionel Messi got his wish around Christmas time. We're heading into Christmas and into the new year. What's on your list? What's going to float Neil Warnock's boat at Christmas
I'm
and beyond?
I'm looking forward now on the Premier League side. It'll be really interesting to see how far Arsenal can hold Man City off. I still think Man City will win it, but hey, who's to say? You know, I never envisaged Leicester City winning it many, many years ago.
Mm.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing that. I'm looking forward to seeing who's going to finish in the top six. And then you've got the battle at the bottom. Very, very close. So it's one of those things that I think there's so much. I'll have to put my glasses on there, but when I look at the bottom and you've got, you know, Wolves, Southampton, Everton, Nottingham Forest, I don't think Forest will get out of that, mate, personally. They sign 50 players. No. They might have 50
They're not far from signing 50 with 25 so far, are they?
I know. So I think the bottom three will be very close. I'm looking forward to seeing how Frank Lampard copes with Everton,
yes,
once again not doing as well as they were imagined. West Ham, David's had a couple of hiccups and they've not done as well as expectations. So can he turn it round? Can the Leeds guy, who makes me laugh when I see his press interviews, no disrespect to him, but I laugh at his, you know, his terminology when you're American. I think it's so funny. Yeah. Right? But, you know, and then Gary O'Neill at Bournemouth, you know, wow, new owners. So I think it's that's the down the bottom end one. 1, 2, 3,
yeah,
4, 5, 6, 7. I think it's between them seven, me.
I don't envisage
Leicester, Villa, Palace, Brentford. I mean, Brentford, they're not that far away, are they? Brentford, when you look at the points. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, just what develops in that respect, I think. So a lot to, and then you look on the Championship. You've got Burnley who look head and shoulders above anybody else.
Yeah, they're superb, aren't they?
But Paul Heckingbottom doing a fabulous job at my club, Sheffield United. I mean, they won the other night. We're fortunate, but that's what you like when you get promotion.
You need that bit of luck.
You get these lucky ones. Well, he said luck, but they put their bodies where them. You know, they all fought for each other.
Yeah.
And I thought it was they've had a lot of injuries. And they've got some good ingredients in that dressing room. I did smile, by the way, when Billy Sharp got booked, because he misses the Boxing Day game.
there we go. That's the play we were talking about, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. I think he does, anyway.
The vet's been coming forward and making sure he sorts his Christmas out.
Yeah. But after that, I think when you look at that league, anybody could go up, anybody could go down. I think my old club, I keep pushing Middlesbrough. I think Carrick's done a really good job, and I think he will get better now, because I think they'll get a good striker. Listen, I should have bought Kiefer Moore one of my first windows, but trying to get it through the door was impossible. I could never get anything done on that, on getting a striker in. But if we'd have had Kiefer Moore them years before, you know, I think the problems would have just gone away. And now they've got to get another striker, like, you know, they've got to get another good striker, I think, and that's all that's they're missing, really. I think that the squad itself and the ground, they're all ready for for going up. And I had to laugh as the director of football, or whatever you call it. You know, he's saying that it's his team now at last, now that Wilder and Warnock's gone. Well, I wish it's nice to know that he had no involvement. I wish he had to no involvement when I were there, but it's you cover. I suppose you cover your own back in football, don't you? Yeah, and down below, you know, not only are we looking at the relegation, but you look at the Division One, Plymouth Argyle here. You know, they've done absolutely brilliant, Plymouth Argyle. They're top of the league at Christmas. And then below them, you've got Sheffield Wednesday and Ipswich, who, you know, wages-wise, must be, you know, five times what Plymouth are on. So, great achievement by Stephen Schumacher and his lads. A really well-run club from top to bottom. Full houses nearly every game now. So, I do enjoy going down there. And I do hope they can go up. I want them to go up automatic,
that's
David.
Proper place, isn't it?
So that they don't take my glory away from my playoff win when I was at Plymouth. So
exactly.
I said to Stephen,
the best way to do it.
Yeah, make sure you go straight up, will you, Stephen, please, if you don't mind. So
the playoff glory is all yours, isn't it?
yeah, it is. Yeah.
Right, that seems like a nice way to knit this all together, of course. That's all for the Die for 3 Points podcast in 2022. We'll be back with some very special episodes in 2023 from myself. We wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And of course, this year, we're going to get our first King's Speech around Christmas time. But I think the final words should be for the king of this particular podcast, the Die for 3 Points podcast. That's Neil Warnock. Neil, over to you.
Well, I just want to wish, I hope everybody's enjoyed our podcast. I have enjoyed doing them. Like I say, I try and make people laugh. Even my Twitter account, I mean, some of my things, I never thought
blowing
I'd
up
on Twitter. But I appreciate people watching them. And I just hope, if I got a one wish, it would be good health and happiness at Christmas. Don't forget to look after your family. But if there's anybody that you know hasn't got family, it's just as important, just a phone call. Just have a quick chat and whatever you, have a look around, and let's make it a lovely Christmas for everybody, and look forward to talking to you in the new year.
Amen to that, Neil. Take care of yourself.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.